I'm going to be reading out of the book of John, John's Gospel, chapter number 3. The Lord began dealing with me on this particular truth earlier in the week. Would you bow your head with me as we take a moment to pray? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for your presence that we've already enjoyed, basked in. Thank you for the breathing of the Holy Spirit this morning. Now, as we come to this part of the service of the preaching of your word, I pray that you would give us that anointing that is needed both to the speaker as well as to the hearer. I pray that you would give me clarity of mind and speech. Give me that anointing that is needed to effectively do what you have called to do today. And then, Father, allow the Holy Spirit to go beyond the human and do what human cannot do, and speak and convict and draw us to Jesus. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I like the story of the little boy who made a model sailboat. He labored carefully to make a beautiful little boat that he could play with on the nearby stream. When he finally finished, it was a dandy. The woodwork was carefully crafted. The paint was eye-catching. The boy's eyes gleamed with pride. He took it down to the babbling stream for its maiden voyage and pushed it out into the water. It was a beautiful thing floating there on that stream. The breezes kept pulling it out further, but he had wisely tied a string to hold it close. It was a glorious sight to the little man as he watched his sailboat floating on the water of the babbling stream. After a while, he decided that he was done. Tried and decided to pull it in, but as he pulled, the string slipped its knot, and before he knew it, the boat was headed downstream. Faster and faster it went as the current carried it away. Off he ran after it, but couldn't catch up, but got further and further behind until the boat disappeared from his sight. Finally, he gave up, and slowly he walked home, deeply saddened by his loss. Days passed, and every day he thought about his little sailboat until one day when he was walking by the local stores, he saw a beautiful sailboat in one of the windows, and he recognized it as his, and so he went inside to talk to the proprietor. He said, "Mister, I believe that that beautiful little sailboat in your window is mine. You see, several days ago I made that, but when I took it to the creek to let it sail, my string came untied and the current took it away from me." The owner of the store said, "Well, son, I'm sorry, but someone sold it to me yesterday, so now it's mine. If you want it, you'll have to buy it." The little boy was sad and became even more sad when he saw the price tag. But he ran all the way home and grabbed his piggy bank and emptied its contents onto his bed. He counted every quarter, every dime, every nickel, and every penny. Whew. He had just enough. He had just enough. Off he ran as fast as he could back to the store, afraid that somebody might see it and want it and beat him to it. When the store came in sight, he could see that the boat was still there. He flew through the door, ran to the window display, and carefully picked up his little boat with a tear in his eye. He made his way to the cash register where he laid out all the money that he owned. After the owner of the store counted his money, he turned and made his way onto the sidewalk toward home. As he carried his boat, he whispered, "Twice mine. I made you, and then I bought you." We go back to the first chapter of the Bible, and in the first chapter of the Bible, we see that God made man in his very own image. He said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We skip a chapter and get on over to chapter number 3, and we see that something happens in the early part of that particular chapter. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And skip down to verse number 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And that knot on the string came loose with man's sin." Things changed. Paul tells us over in the book of Romans, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." In a previous chapter, he said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And so God's crown of creation, made in his very image, was lost to him. Sin entered the glorious picture of God's creation and broke that fellowship. Sin entered the glorious picture of God's creation and severed that relationship. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, I know that there's a belief that's seemingly growing around us, that because God is such a loving God, no one is really going to ultimately be lost into the place of hell. But listen to the scripture of what the Apostle Peter's pen wrote. "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We may be developing a confused understanding of what that word repentance means. Let's refresh it in our mind this morning, what it means to repent. Very simply, the dictionary would tell us that repent means to turn from sin. Turn from sin. To feel regret, to have regret or contrition, to feel sorrow, to change one's mind. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet we are reminded again of the words of Peter, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." In the first part of the passage that we read in John's Gospel, chapter number 3, we find that Nicodemus is struggling with what the Lord had told him and what it was going to take, what was necessary for Nicodemus and what it was necessary for all of us to come to that place of repentance and to find victory, to find salvation through Christ. He said, "Ye must be born again." There must be something new that is accomplished, something new that is done, something new that takes place in a person's life. There is a change that must take place. I can almost hear the Apostle Paul pressing the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 6:20, "Ye are bought with a price." And again, in the next chapter, he repeats it, "Ye are bought with a price." You see, we are not our own. God made us, God designed us, God created us exactly the way we are for a reason, for a purpose, but because of sin, it severed that relationship. It broke that particular fellowship that was once experienced between man and God. Sin separated, and the knot of the string was loosed, and we were lost to Him. But because of the love, universal love of God, Jesus came to save us from our sins and to create a new person within, to give us something worth living for and a hope of eternity. Oh, it's a verse that we probably all know, don't we? "For God so loved." But we don't all experience it. We all don't know it by personal experience, but it can be because He said, "Whosoever believeth." Yes, I'm aware that Paul also tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Could I paraphrase it for the sake of the stories this morning? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that we could be bought back and made one of His. Do you know Him this morning? You can. Have you repented of your sins this morning? You can. Are you made new in Christ? You can. Because that word, "whosoever will," included you. It included me. He doesn't hold against us the long list of our transgressions or the short list of our transgressions. But He calls us to repentance. Why don't we stand together this morning? Maybe you could take your songbook out and turn to song number 337. Let's sing a verse of that song together this morning. And if you have a need, why don't you come to the altar and Let us pray with you today. Let's sing it together. Softly. Waiting. He's watching. He's longing. He's watching for you this morning. Come home. He wants to buy you back through the blood of Calvary. He's made the purchase. He's provided redemption. Come home. Singing, just continue to play. Is there anybody that wants to come and pray this morning? He wants to meet you. Meet your need. You can find His grace to be sufficient today. You don't have to go out these doors the same as you came in. You can be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Twice owned. I made you and I bought you. Jesus paid the ultimate price so that you and I can find grace in Him and strength in Him and redemption through His shed blood. Anybody want to pray this morning? Coming to the end of that verse, of course. That's all the playing we will have when she reaches the end here. Come home. Jesus is calling. Won't you respond this morning? I trust and pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to speak to our hearts, continue to draw us to Him. Help us to come to that place where we repent of our sins and be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Thank you for your attendance this morning. Thank you for your attention. Trust that God will bless you on this Lord's Day. Brother Chad Clark, would you dismiss us in prayer?